are listening to the award-winning, leading children's gardening educator, Lee Connolly, the Skinny Jean Gardener, and my daddy.
As a parent, I know it can be challenging to resist the law of technology and the never-ending stream of notifications that come with it. But it's important to remember that our children crave our attention and presence more than any device ever could. One way to combat the distraction of technology is to set aside dedicated time each day to be fully present with your children. This could mean turning off the phone during meal times, taking a walk together without any devices, or just getting outside gardening, away from social media. Another helpful strategy is to limit your own screen time and model healthy digital habits for your children. Remember, the moments we share with our children are fleeting, and it's up to us to make the most of them. So if you're with family or friends right now, turn off this podcast, put down the phone, and go and create some real memories. Hello and welcome to today's podcast, and it's going to be a little bit different this week as I am here with...
Who's that?
It's you, Richard.
Yes, Richard from the Veg Grower Podcast.
Richard from the Veg Grower Podcast in our very, well, in the Skinny Jean Gardener Podcast's very first for quite a while, out on tour, don't know what to call it, Richard, out and about garden visit today as we are here at RHS Hyde Hall, where we're here today, or I am, to explore what is here for families and children to get involved with this year. And Richard, if you want to head over to Richard's podcast, will be about all the vegetables you'll be able to see.
The vegetable garden, which I'm looking forward to seeing.
Absolutely. Yeah, so we're very excited to be here today. And have a little look around, and throughout today's podcast I'll be taking a bit of a journey of the different things that you can see. So we're going to head up now all the way around. The first thing we're going to head to, Richard, today is the vegetable garden. As we walk around, we're going to go a big tour around the top here. But it's a beautiful day, the sun is out. Anything you want to say, Richard?
I've got to say, the little lake over here with the sun is just making it look very, very like spring is really here.
It really is here, isn't it? It'd be nice to see actually what is growing, because it's still very early on in the season. So it'd be nice to see if there's any colour popping through.
Yeah, I doubt there'll be much colour other than the spring bulbs, but there'll be life, there'll be foliage coming through, is what I'm expecting.
Absolutely. And with hot summer's days on their way round, very soon we'll see what is there or here at Hyde Hall. Let's get on with the podcast.
They're simply happy and they're sweet.
Hello, hello, hello.
And all the
what's
party
going
peace
on?
There's creepy black eyes being done. Keep it a secret now, please.
This gives me an idea.
They're simply happy and they're sweet. And all the party to peace. The party to peace.
So as you walk through the main entrance, you can head right and find the park area, which I think is pretty good. It's not massive, but it's made all wooden and there's lots of different things for children to do. Richard, are you going to have a go on it?
I really want to go climb that witch's hut, because it looks like a witch's hut, doesn't it?
It really
it's like
is
a climbing frame and slides, monkey bars. There's just so much going on. I think I might be a bit too big compared to all the kids that are there, though.
Yeah, perhaps.
I'm four times the size. I don't think I'll get away with it.
I know Olive would love to come down this way. One thing I would suggest, though, and this is what me and Richard have just done, is we actually just walked through the winter garden to get here. So you can get directly to the park area, but have a little walk through the winter garden, and there's loads of, what are they called? Not wicker. What's the word?
Willow
trees that have been sculptured into different things. And with the kids, you can guess what they are. There's some really good ones there.
Yeah, I spotted one straight away. I'm proud of myself for that one.
It's a really good really good little walk to get you as a family talking as well. I'll say one of them because it is obvious which one is, but the peacock one is probably my favourite.
Yeah.
It really is. So you can walk through the winter garden, then walk all the way back round, and there's some picnic benches here. Nice place to chill out, have a cuppa, and let the kids have a little play on the park. So a great way to start your adventure round Hyde Hall. So as you come up the hill, you'll find the most ridiculous size greenhouse you'll ever see. First thoughts, Richard Suggett.
It's the size of my house.
Your house ain't that big.
Downstairs. Down, if single floor house, you'll probably be able to fit that inside this, I reckon.
It's ridiculous. It's an amazing structure at the top of the hill here. And all the way around it's a circular allotment, which looks amazing as it is right now. We've visited in March, so there's a lot of soil at the moment, but I can imagine if you come here in the summer, it's going to be absolutely packed full of vegetables. I've been here 6 years ago, I think it was, and I remember coming up here and seeing how packed out the vegetable garden is. So I think bringing children up here, especially in the summer, it's going to be a right spectacle, be able to see some incredible vegetables. What do you think, Richard?
Amazing. I think definitely in the summer, when it's full of all those crisp tomatoes, the crisp lettuce, it'll be an amazing sight. We've got to come back here.
I really do think so. I think that obviously we're coming here to, well, I am today to come here and see what's here for families. But I can really see how this can be quite inspiring to come here. Not to do in your own garden. I mean, you'd have a pretty big garden to recreate something like this. But to see what is really possible. So yeah, really good area. Also, if you go through the gates at the back, there's another garden which you may not know about. So just scoot through the back gates, you'll see it as you look through the greenhouse. And there's another garden at the back there, which is really pretty and quiet area too. So do make sure you explore all the areas up the top here on the hill. Just a real quick one. School Garden Success is the ultimate resource for primary school teachers looking to inspire their students to connect with nature, grow their own food, and care for wildlife. School Garden Success offers a comprehensive range of resources and tools to support educators in teaching children how to develop and maintain a thriving school garden. With our expertly designed lesson plans tailored to meet the needs of primary school children, you can easily incorporate gardening into your curriculum and bring science and environmental studies to life. At School Garden Success, we understand the challenges of teaching in today's fast-paced and demanding education system, which is why we've created a one-stop shop for all your gardening needs. From online tutorials and how-to guides to expert advice and support, we're here to help you every step of the way. So whether you're a seasoned gardener or just starting out, visit schoolgardensuccess.co.uk today and discover the benefits of bringing the joy of gardening to your classroom. Now, back to the podcast. So coming away from the allotment area, we've just had a little drink at the top of the hill, and I've just come across the Learning Centre and Garden, which is a really fun area for children. It's a little bit windy up here, but a really fun area for children to learn about pollinators, it seems, quite a lot. A lot of wildflowers being grown. There's really a good bit where visiting school children investigated how seeds are dispersed and how did 2,040 flying seeds experiments. So in the end, they planted up 769 sunflower seeds, 760 nasturtium seeds, and 190 caledonia seeds. Oh, and what was that, 471 pea heads. So up here, there's loads of seeds being grown and learnt about. And there's loads of signs around here with loads of information on which, as it's a learning garden, children can take away a lot of information.
So I think there's a really nice space up the top of the hill. It's a little bit hidden away, but if you come all the way around the building, you'll find it. Garden's split into like different beds. So we've got like a wildflowers bed, a textile plants bed. There's a dye plants bed, which is all about textile dyeing dating back to Neolithic period, which is quite interesting. All different beds basically where plants are being used differently. There's alpine's bed, grasses, obviously, easy bed. Also, one that I think's really interesting and I think kids will really love as I walk around to it is the poisonous plants, kill or cure. So many plants contain poison, even ones that we eat on a regular basis, in such small amounts that we don't notice and they don't make us ill. I think this is a really interesting way to get children excited about plants and make it out that plants can be dangerous, but a great way of learning. So yeah, great area to explore, especially in the summer when it's in full bloom. So honestly, I really love it up the top here. I honestly think that this allotment in the summer will look absolutely amazing and just a really good place to come and just learn about vegetables, see vegetables growing. You know, it's such an amazing space. The greenhouse is just of ridiculous size. And the way that the allotment's built, it's quite windy on the top of this hill, but actually it's quite protected for the vegetables. Something that's really nice as I just sit here up in the allotment area is a dad has just counted down from 10 and is playing hide and seek in the allotment. Now, don't get me wrong, there's not many places to hide, but how fun is that? Like, I love that. If I'm looking, I actually can't find where the child's hiding, but I think that's a really nice way to explore this space. If you want to find out more about the allotment, then head over to Richard's podcast on the Veg Grower podcast to find out so much more.
Hello, I'm Samantha Saville, head teacher of Ashton Kane's Primary School in Wiltshire, and I wanted to talk to you about forest school and gardening and its place in the curriculum. We've been doing forest school and gardening for the 9 years that I've been head here. We are in a rural village school in Wiltshire, and there are many reasons why we do this and why we make it part of our curriculum, even though it isn't part of the national curriculum. Some of the key reasons are, first one, obviously well-being. As you can imagine, and you'll know, that gardening and forest school are very therapeutic for the children, meaning that they are in the outdoor space all of the time. They are able to take that quiet time for gardening, well-being breaks during lessons when they've got their allotments. That's one key thing, and well-being is a core thing, a core thread, golden thread across our curriculum. Secondly, a huge thing for us at Ashton Kane's is the context of where we are. So we are blessed with amazing grounds, and I'll just show you, being a rural school, we have got all this space, which I know not all schools have. But that comes with its responsibilities, because we responsible for making sure that our children know how to be sustainable for the future, that they're respectful and understanding of the environment and conservation area in which they live, that they look after our grounds and out in the environment, and they know how to keep themselves safe around the lakes and around the garden areas. They also understand about the wildlife that they encounter, so that they're kind, and that's really important to us, so important for within our school context. But also a massive thing is inclusion for our disadvantaged learners, children who need to understand about food and nutrition, therefore can garden and grow their own produce and understand what healthy eating is and food and nutrition, and then that can change the aspirations of their families. So we do a lot of cooking from growing our own produce here, and understanding where food comes from and helping the children to have that understanding and sustainability. But also in terms of inclusion with our disadvantaged children. Some of the impact has been, you know, they've got allotments and they've had butternut squash that they've grown, and they've made soup for all of the class, or they've grown tomatoes and they've made pasta sauces that they can actually continue to make at home and help improve the quality of eating for their families, when maybe what they actually access is fast food, and we're trying to change that for them. Also in terms of inclusion for behaviour, in my time here in the 9 years, I've seen children who have thrived outdoors and not thrived in the classroom, and being able to come out and teamwork, solve problems, build resilience has been absolutely key for them, and the impact has been they've achieved brilliantly academically inside the school, and I've tracked them and they've continued to do that through their secondary school. And within that promise of gardening and that culture of forest school, we've also enabled them to do those outdoor activities, such as if they do ride horses or they're in a farming community, they've been able to go and do those things as well on the back of our kind of forest school offer. And some of them are now representing GB in horse riding or clay pigeon shooting, or they are working with their family businesses, which also takes me on to future careers in a rural environment. So important children are aware of what's available, and we work with conservationists, environmentalists, we work with the local farming community to make sure that our children understand the roles and responsibilities, and maybe that could help their future employment as well. But also, you know, it is really, really important in terms of the progressive skills that we plan are there. It's not just an activity each week. We can't afford in our curriculum time to do this every week for all the children. We have it on a timetable. We have invested in quality staff who are level 3 trained. We've written our own progressive skills curriculum to enable our children to be able to learn to take safe risks, to learn to understand how to be safe in the environment, to understand how to problem solve, to do these progressive activities that will help them as learners, and they build their resilience outdoors as well as indoors. So the impact is great here for us. We've seen it over 9 years. It isn't part of the national curriculum. We fit it in. It does come at a cost, and it does mean you have to try and look out there to find somebody who can do it. And I appreciate we're a Wiltshire school, but we have to react to our context, and we have great grounds. But the grounds may not be utilised well if you don't have this education happening. We also have children gardening for us and looking after the school grounds, which is really important. And I appreciate it's different in cities environment, but also that understanding where food's coming from and that therapy coming from gardening is equally important. Thank you.
Well, we've hit the car park now at an end of a beautiful day here at Hyde Hall. I've got Richard here with me in the van. Rich, what do you think of the day?
Good day. Good company, good garden,
good scones.
Good scones, yeah. I forgot about those.
Any highlights? Because I think we both said, like, right now we're visiting in March, and so it's going to be a lot different coming up in the summer. What do you think the highlights of the year would be if you're coming later on in the year?
For me, it's got to be the vegetable garden, because we've seen it. At the moment, it's pretty empty. You expect that this time of year. But over the next few months, it's going to develop, and if you keep coming back regularly, you'll see that come from nothing to something really quite amazing, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I think we both said that coming now and then coming back later on in the year, we'll see a big comparison between how things go. For me, on the family side of things, I think it's really good place, especially in the summer. I think it's really good. We've got that park area. We've got the allotment where I spoke about earlier, where then that child was hiding amongst the allotment. I think during the summer, that's even more going to be a lot more fun, hide and seek throughout the gardens. And plus, there's so many more events that are going to be happening here too. Rich?
Rolling down the hill.
Rolling down the hill. If you're brave enough to send your kid rolling down the hill, there's plenty of hills for that as well. But yeah, I think a great place to come and visit in the summer. And like I say, there's lots of events going on too over the holidays. So yeah, a good day. Rich, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
I'll speak to you next week on the podcast.
This is Ace and Nick and the Gardener.